Are you fed up with the back and forth of your on and off again relationship? If you're ready to be gone and stay gone, stick around. Welcome to the Black Girl Bravado Podcast, your weekly fix for all things mental health and wellness. I'm Brittany, the joke-cracking, detail-oriented friend who is always down the road when you need her. For the legal stuff, though, not the illegal stuff.
And I'm Germany, the loyal friend who keeps you laughing. I'm a ray of sunshine, and you can always find me on the dance floor. And not only are we besties, but we're your besties. You heard me right. It's homegirl vibes here.
Get ready for the girls to dish the real, the raw, and the fucking funny.
And listen, we may drag you, but it's always in love. Let's start the show, cuties.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back.
Welcome back, babes.
How's it going?
It's going good. I'm feeling good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm well. I was trying to get deeper.
Yeah.
But because I'm not used to it, it don't be like, you know, for me.
Yeah.
I'm just so used to saying I'm good. And if I'm not good, I say like, I'm dragged. But right now I'm good. I don't have any complaints.
Yeah, same. They're equally good.
Life is life. Although, while life is life, the natural disasters and things going on are a little scary.
Yeah.
They're a little scary. We know that Hawaii was on fire, but when I was speaking with one of my coworkers who's from the UK, he said that Italy is on fire as well.
Oh, wow.
And that's not, I don't remember the part, but it's outside of the norm, you know? I'm like, okay, what's going on? And my other coworker was like, you know, I've been reading the Book of Revelations and it's lining up. I'm like,
oh. Yeah, last of the days. You know, though, folks say we in our last of our days.
Right. They've been saying that for years, though, haven't
and
they?
And here we are.
No,
yes, they've been saying it for a long time, child, because
right, and if they've
been leading up to.
Right. And that's the part that be having me a little shook. Like, you know, while nothing has fully manifested, I'm thinking if we've been saying we in the last of our days for years, at some point those days are really numbered.
We've come to the last of them. The right. Bitter end.
Yeah. So what's that about?
Lately I've been saying shit. I don't even know if we're going to be here. And Andres is like, why you got to keep saying? I'm like, it's the truth.
Well, you know what I've been saying? While we're here. Let's live it up. Like, you know, like, yeah. Let's really seize the moment. I've been having this thought that my best days are ahead of me. I'm ready to live the best days of my life.
Mm.
You know, I don't feel like I've lived the best days of my life yet. And I'm ready to live them.
Come on.
So while we're here, let's turn up.
Yeah, let's live up the best of the ones that we have left.
Let's do them.
Let's seize them.
So what does that look like for me?
Carpe diem.
Yeah, what does that look like for me? Not living in fear, not holding myself back, not settling, and just being more optimistic, you know, not so mundane and so monotonous, just having some liveliness about me in my life.
Love it. Remember that episode of Sister, Sister, Where?
No, I don't know why the fuck you asked me that. I don't remember specific episodes of that show.
Because when I said carpe diem, that episode should have came to your mind.
It didn't. I'm sorry.
When they like had a birthday and they were like, we're just going to go. I think they went to Detroit or wherever the fuck they went.
Did they catch a train?
Yes. And they like lived it
and
up
they,
and they
like,
got in
snuck,
trouble.
They
yeah,
snuck.
Yeah,
okay,
so
I remember that.
So don't be so quick to say you don't. But that's where I learned carpe diem.
Because you'll be like, you remember that time when they were sitting at the dinner table and
no.
Something so... Mom, like I.
But sometimes you remember, so let me get it out, so you can be like, "Yeah, I do remember." Just like that.
I remember that though.
That was a great episode. I damn near want to go home and watch Sister, Sister.
I had a kind of stint like that before.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
A carpe diem moment where you
on
the
train,
moment?
And I went somewhere that my mom didn't know I went. I was supposed to be at my homegirl Abigail, my little Filipino homegirl I've mentioned here before. Her mom didn't give a fuck. I was just supposed to be at the homegirl's house. However, Abigail's mom told us that we can go take the BART to San Francisco. And my mom didn't know that part. She thought I was just at Abigail's house. So when she called to tell me that it was time for me to come home, I was in San Francisco.
Which was how far away from your house?
Too far. Like, it was going to take me like an hour to get back. Okay. We had to cross the bridge, get on the train, the BART, all that.
Yeah.
Girl, she was like, you can't fucking go over there no more. Why would her mother not call and ask me if you can go to San Francisco? Who just takes people's kids to San Francisco and on the BART? And so, yeah, I said all that to say I had a sister act moment.
Sister. I've had a few moments myself.
You know.
I've had a few moments of being out when I should have been in.
But yeah, I do want to, you know. These are final days.
Grab them by the ass.
Grab them and live them. I don't want them to live me. I'm going to live them.
Right.
But anywho.
Anyways.
We're in a new month.
And you know what a new month means.
A new month means a new series. So this month we are going to be focusing on resetting our relationships. Cuffing season.
And our mindset around relationships.
Yes, that's the most important part. Mm-hmm. I realize that. The mindset is important. Sometimes it seems like, you know, I just need a new relationship. No.
You need to
reset the mind.
The mind.
You need to reset the mind so patterns aren't repeated.
Mm. And I think that's a really good segue.
Yeah, so patterns aren't repeated, and we can actually be in relationships that we desire to be in and not just being in a relationship for the sake of being in a relationship. I saw something that said, it was on TikTok. I don't remember exactly what it said, but it was saying something along the lines of, you can be with someone and you still feel empty or you still feel like something's missing. A lot of us have been in relationships and many of us have never been in a partnership.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Totally different.
It really is.
It's totally different.
It is.
And I can say that I've been in relationships. I have not yet felt like I've been in a partnership. And I hate that for me.
It's coming.
I hate that I have not been in a partnership.
It's coming. Shit. I just got to find my first one. Shit. And I've been in relationship. I've been in relationship after relationship after relationship, and this is the first time that I feel like I'm in a partnership.
I love that.
And you can't feel the stark difference. So your time is coming.
It has to.
It's coming, and you know what?
And I'm responsible.
You're responsible, and you know what it is that you're looking for, which is a partnership, not to just be in any old thing.
So I'm done with that.
The ball is in your court, and you could decide how you want to move towards the basket. Are you doing a fadeaway? Are you dribbling? You know what I'm saying? Are you breaking a nigga ankles?
Are we airballing?
What are you doing? What are you doing? And I think talking about cycles and being in relationships and not partnerships is a great way to get into our topic for today.
Let's get into it.
Why can't you go or get away from your fucking ex?
Why can't you leave?
Why can't you stop going back?
I don't want to leave you.
Oh, I was about to say, we don't sing that. Trey Songz is canceled.
Okay. They canceling on the left and right. Shit, I'm canceled. Everybody on mute.
Why can't you stop going back to your ex? This is a song that we have all sung.
Yeah. Okay, this person's not canceled. Every time I try to leave, something keeps pulling me back, telling me I need you in my life. Every time I try to go.
I was waiting on more lyrics.
Yes.
I'm like, yeah, the way I'm sitting here, like, I'm Mary J. Blige. I'm like,
On and off again, relationships are hella common. They're common.
Oh, yeah.
They're common. They got us in a choke hold, baby. Yeah.
Various studies have shown that 30 to 60% of young dating adults have some experience with on again, off again relationships or relationship cycling, relationship churning is what it's called. Mm. Nigga, the back and forth. We've had our share of fair.
Back, forth, and forth.
Back. Yeah.
Yes.
What's been your experience with on and off again relationships?
I've definitely been a participant. I've spun a block or two.
Listen.
I have.
Right.
Let me go on back down that block. I fucking have. Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm not too proud about it, but I'm here.
Like, have you noticed that it's shown up in multiple relationships?
Yes.
Most, if not all?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's been a thing. Why? I was going to say, I don't know. I do know, and we're going to get into it. Mm. But yes, I have. I've already mentioned on this show before that I already have a problem with fully cutting off people. So this can be interconnected.
Yeah.
There's an interconnection.
Yeah.
If I'm not fully cutting people off, letting people lingering around, or wanting them to linger around, then there's a possibility of an on again, off again situation.
Yeah. Even if just emotionally.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm quick with the cutoff, but nigga, I'll go right back. I cut it off and sew it back.
Recycle.
I'm like, hold on. My needle and thread. Listen. I cut that off, but I'm not ready to part with it.
The Build-A-Bear.
Listen, that has happened, nigga. I will be putting him in this stitch.
The Build-A-Bear factory?
Yes. Yes, yeah. I do. I will get out of something and go right back, or be in a little something and be like, fuck you. You know, the pride and the ego comes in when you're arguing and having that little mess of a situation. I think I used to think it was more toxic than it was. Like, it is toxic, yes, but thinking that I was in some sort of like anomaly of a relationship. Like, why are we arguing like this? Why is it so toxic? But the truth of the matter is, like, majority of people are having this experience. It's not healthy, but
it's not healthy. I feel like more often than not, people have at least one cycle.
Yeah.
You know, like, maybe it's not frequently, but it's like
a full breakup.
Well, there's categories.
Okay.
There's categories. It's like the full breakup is one, like the full breakup completely separates, cycle back. But there is also the mini breakups, cycle back. You know, like yeah. The mini breakups, like we done, not talk for maybe like a week or
yeah.
A little mini extended period of time. And then we're back.
Yeah. You've had at least one.
Yeah.
At least one in your relationship. At least one. I'm so grateful I don't have that right now.
I don't need it.
If I had that, I would probably, if you go. If we can't figure it out and it's a complete break, then just leave. Don't come back. I don't have that type of energy in me at this big age.
Yes, especially if the reason for the breakup was, you really know it's not a fit.
Listen,
you know,
misalignment.
You know, you really know it's not a fit, but because of various reasons, you decide to spin the block.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
It's like, what's been seen what you needed to see, you've already seen.
Right.
So.
But the thing with on again, off again relationships, there's the illusion of stability.
That's what it be for me.
The illusion of, this is my safe space.
It is be that for me, because the problem with me is I be feeling unstable. Now, every time we talk about these relationships, I feel like the psychotic side of me pops the fuck out. I really do. But yeah, I be feeling slightly unstable.
Yeah.
And I'm like, let me go get my security blanket. It's like a weighted blanket in the wintertime.
Yeah.
You know?
I need you.
It's like a weighted blanket. You. I already know your vibe. We already have, you know, got through the uncomfortability.
Yeah.
I know what you come with. And I also know that it's not a fit.
Listen.
But we're here.
Yeah.
We're here. And it works.
Sort of. Yeah. But there's a lot of common reasons why on again, off again, like spurts happen in relationships. So let's just get into them.
Let's get into them.
The first one is life challenges, right? So this might be the type of dynamic where you really care about the person, but it's kind of challenging to be with them when you're focusing on all of your other things, life happenings, your job, your friends, your relationships. So you part ways, but then come back when things have sort of mellowed out.
Right person, wrong time.
Right person, wrong time. Exactly. I've had this type of situation. I feel like it was the person that I was with at the time needed a lot out of me, the demand. And I couldn't recognize, like, maybe we're not a fit. I just figured, like, I'm really busy. I'm working on a lot of stuff. Maybe we need to cool off. And then when I felt like I had the capacity and the bandwidth to deal with what it is that they were requiring of me in the initial stages of our dating, I went back. I
was, and like, they okay, were willing.
Let
they
me see. They welcomed, of course.
They welcomed you with open arms.
Arms were open.
They were single.
Lips were perched.
They were single, or you pulling them out of
they
something?
They were. I didn't pull them out of nothing. Now, it's rare when I pull a nigga out of something. Stay where you are. Stay where you
but
are.
But if you're open.
We were both single, so it was kind of like, let's see. Let's
I
see.
I mean, that was good for you. Some people do a pull out.
Yeah, no.
Kick joy.
That goes against my morals.
Okay.
If you in it, I'm going to leave you in it.
Yeah.
And then come see about me when you're out of it.
And see if I'm available.
So that's happened to me before.
Yeah, the life challenges is a real thing. I feel like this is the most complicated one, especially when it comes to the ending part for me, because like you can see that, acknowledge that they are a good person and it feels like a good fit. And that's the part, maybe not a good fit completely. Some pieces are a good fit. Mm. And that's the part of me that tries to force it.
Yeah.
You know, and that is a part of me that might make me circle back even prematurely. It's like, okay, the life challenges are still present, but maybe I have the capacity when things have not changed, and then I'm quickly reminded that I don't.
Listen,
I'm quickly reminded that
it's too much.
It's still not good. And that's why you should not do that unless you see there's been some actual change, you know? Because 9 times out of 10, it is what it was.
9 times out of 10, the speed at which we're going back, there's been no real change.
That part would be
the speed at which we're going back. Like, how did you change in two weeks, three weeks,
a month?
I'm going to be better. And we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that. Trust and believe.
It'd be that speed. It's an illusion.
The speed, baby. The way we put our shit in sport, nigga, I'm burning rubber to get back to you. Okay, tire tracks.
Another common cause of on-again, off-again relationships is the incompatibility.
Listen.
You know, you might have great chemistry, but the compatibility is not there. And that can fuck you up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We don't agree on things. You're arguing all the time.
Yes.
You know, we're always butting heads, but then that chemistry is there. So it's like,
yeah,
I know.
Yeah. The attraction.
But I'm still attracted to you. So let's just try to make it work for the 15th time.
I think you mentioned that you've had that type of experience, right? Like you felt really good chemistry and stuff. Like you knew that you and the person were incompatible.
Yeah,
or it felt incompatible, but you're like, we have such a vibe. Like,
yes,
the chemistry is there.
We have great chemistry. We weren't arguing all the time.
Right. No.
But there was incompatibility, meaning like, the incompatibility came in when I'm like, are the things that I actually desire in a relationship outside of like the attraction, are they possible?
Right. Ew, possible. Not even are they here, are they possible?
And I mean, are they here too? Like, I don't know what's possible in the future, but that's my other problem, banking on potential.
Listen.
So are they present? Have I seen it?
You got to look at what's right in front of you.
That's really the golden rule.
You got to look at what's in front of you.
That's really the
way that I have held on to a man because of his potential. What I saw in him. Do you see it in yourself, sir? I'm seeing more in you than you see. I need you to take my glasses and put them on yourself. You got to take the shades that I have on.
Yeah.
Put them on yourself.
And another way this gets me, this one bites me in the ass, is if it's like a chemistry that I haven't felt before. That's the part that makes me feel like,
ooh, otherworldly. Another worldly vibe.
Not otherworldly, but kind of like, am I going to have this chemistry again?
Yeah.
Which is a scarcity mindset.
Yeah.
Feels like rare.
The rare beauty.
Toxic.
Another common reason why on again and off again relationships are happening is there's uncertainty around what you really want, right? So y'all might have a lot of fun together, but the relationship truly doesn't have that value that you need to sustain a real commitment. So, you know, you might call it quits, but that don't seem right either. It's like, this person really has what I really love, having a good time with.
I have
with
someone
them.
To go to dinner with,
yes.
pull up to the functions yes. with, yes. talk to.
Yes. So the time ends up emphasizing how much y'all truly care about each other. So eventually you spin the block. You go back.
Because it's like a void.
Exactly. It's like,
nobody
oh my gosh.
Gets me.
Nobody gets me like you get me, babe.
And that leads us to the next common cause. The grass not being greener. This is another one that gets me.
Yeah.
Fuck around and put your toe, dip your toe.
In the pool.
In the pool and see.
Yeah.
It's really ghetto out here.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
The street. There's really nothing out here in the streets. Because when you're in the relationship, at least for me, when I'm in it and I've acknowledged that it's not a fit, at that point, I'm thinking about what's out there. Mm-hmm. Like, I know there's somebody who has what I want, everything that I want. I know there's somebody that I can be in a better relationship with. I have to get out of this.
Yeah.
Then once I get out and I see that there's not that, or it's not coming at the speed at which I want it to come, like, I'm like, let me go on back.
It's like dealing with the evil you know versus the evil you don't. Like, honestly, let me just deal with this nigga who I...
And it would be so good. It'll be so perfect if as soon as you exit it, you just meet somebody who just...
Right, you got over him and got under somebody else.
But someone good. Yeah. Someone worth it.
Yeah.
You know, like someone that shows me, see?
That's why I left. And that's why I could stay gone. Because, baby, I've gone back
when I have too. If I had that, that would really keep me away.
Of course.
That would really, I'm like,
because then you don't have to deal with the discomfort. You don't have to deal with the difficulty of not having a person that can occupy your time and your space and your energy. Like, then you don't have nothing to feel. You just get to go right into feeling great.
I know.
That's why, because we don't want to deal with the tough times.
I hate it.
I know, girl. Same.
I hate
communication.
It.
Communication issues. This is a biggie. This is why we go back and forth, baby. If you are somebody or you're with somebody who has poor communication skills, instead of resolving conflict, you decide that it's easier to just, nigga, we're not even going to talk about it. The fuck you ministry.
Yeah.
When you do that and then you break up and then there's that absence, you figure, hey, we can renew the relationship. You come back thinking.
Because now we've just cooled down.
We've cooled down. And now there's this hope that things are going to change. And they don't. You end up coming back together and dealing with the same motherfucking
this
shit.
This was me in the long term.
Poor communication.
Me and my long-term relationship, we have poor fucking communication. It was same. So bad. Same. And this was our pattern. Never really no resolved.
You don't really get to the bottom of it. You just go head to head, be mad as hell, cool off.
Yeah, like, so we back. Just not going to talk?
Right, exactly. Bitch, we ain't resolved the issues.
We're just not
going to
talk? Are you, come over.
Are you still mad?
Right.
Yeah. I'm sorry, you want to go get something to eat? I hate that. I miss you. Do you?
You hungry?
What do you mean? Yeah, you hungry. Exactly. You know, I'll feed you. I will feed you. Boy, come with some solutions.
Yes.
Because I too was in my dynamic and that was the vibe.
It's
being
that.
So young. It almost gets volatile. Like, you know, you get so angry with one another. You don't really know how to express yourselves. You can't hold space for the person to talk without feeling like judged. Honestly, the skill set that I was working with as a young woman in a fucking serious relationship, like what it would take to be in a true partnership, I did not have.
Me either.
I didn't have the skills. I didn't really have the tools. I thought I did. I was just figuring it out, like most of us in our early 20s.
Right.
And oh, Lord, what a time.
Girl, what really, time. But the thing is, the gag is we really thought we were doing something.
Though. I know.
And we were so mature. On top of that, we thought we were the elevated ones.
The mature ones.
We thought we were the ones really holding it together, the glue.
But it's
the
just
glue,
like,
if you will.
Come on. We're all just a mess. We're all a mess.
Another one that has us in the chokehold is the history, the time, the experiences, the feelings.
Mm-hmm, baby.
We just feel so comfortable despite whatever else is going on. It's like, this is my person. I know it is.
And I put in the effort.
What they write on the captions when you've been on and off again with somebody and it's time to confess.
They say something like, only we know what we've been through.
Yeah.
And we've been through so much. I don't want to go through so much with a person.
Right. And it's like, you don't, but because you have, you don't want to think about the time and the energy that it's going to take to start over.
Yeah.
It's intimidating.
It can be
intimidating.
It can be. And that's why we'd rather just stay where we are. Like, I'm already invested in this nigga. I already know his family. I already know what he like to eat for dinner. Listen. It'd be all of that. All the things that we've done. All the vacations. All the little trips.
And we hyper-focus on the good times.
Oh, yeah.
The bad be completely zapped from the memory. Why is that? When you're in the relationship, the bads are magnified. That's all I could think about. You're irritating me. Don't touch me. I'm irritated.
Yeah.
Then as soon as the plug is pulled, for some reason, I can't remember the bad times.
Because absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Mm.
We want to be back in it. So... this is another common reason for your on-again, off-again relationships, is the hope for change and transformation. That's why. You believe that things are going to change. You know, you're hopeful. You break up, they call, they text, they apologize, they tell you all of the things that they're going to do right, how they're going to be right by you.
Yeah.
And of course, what do? You
believe it.
You believe it under the guise that things are going to get better. But what we have to start doing is distinguishing and creating a really clear difference between wishful thinking
and reality
and genuine change. Okay. You might, and again, the speed at which we come back, when a person tells us they're going to change, we got to put a pause on that.
We do. It's definitely the speed.
I'm like, girl.
It's definitely the speed. If I've been with you for 2 years complaining about things not being the way that I want them to be, why would they change all of a sudden in 3 months?
It ain't even.
But you know, I thought about something. I was thinking about this when I was watching Insecure, because you know all the girls are watching that for the 15th time now that it's on Netflix. Mm. And I'm like, ooh, Lawrence had really did like a, as soon as Issa and him were done, some of the change was happening.
While
they were still in it, before he found out she was messing with Daniel. One.
Okay.
Before she found out she fucked Daniel.
Yeah.
But like, he was moving kind of rapid once it was really done.
The thing is, once you're hurt or you decide you no longer want to be in a relationship, you do get to moving. You get some speed on your feet. You put on rollerblades.
I don't like that.
It's the truth, though.
That's the part that sends me.
It's the truth, baby. We be up out of it.
I know when we up out of it. I don't like when the nigga does it.
I know, but it's the mindset, right? It's like, once I'm done with a thing, moment to stop having fun with it, I'll be done with it. I put my skates on. Me or him. I don't like it when he do it either. I'm just telling you that's the mindset that we be in when we decide.
I understand.
And now I'm on the hunt. I'm on the prowl to get my new thing. It's the truth. I'm on the hunt and the prowl. But yeah, let's start being really cognizant of wishful thinking versus genuine change.
Yeah.
Did I really give this person enough time apart for me to make a true effort to change what it is that they need to change outside of me, outside of the relationship? Yeah. Also some mentions here. Relationship anxiety, like stress, that also be making shit be on the back and forth. When you are bringing, not unnecessary, but like insecurities to the relationship.
Like your personal insecurities?
Personal insecurities. Sometimes it's not even the energy that y'all share together. It's like, it might be your mental health, right?
Yeah.
Like maybe you're struggling with depression, anxiety, and you really need to talk to somebody, and that's wearing down on your partner. Trying to be your mental health professional. Or juggle all the things that you have going on in your personal life.
I can testify to that. It really can weigh down on you and make you feel like, this is not what I wanted. Like, it's
yeah,
a
and
lot.
Then you feel badly for not wanting it.
You feel
and leading
bad.
A person in distress.
Yes.
And not being the soft place for them to land. So you go back.
Yes.
So you go back. Or dealing with somebody who's jealous and insecure and has an ego problem. You know, it's like, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be like that no more. I'm not going to, I'm going to give you your space. You could go out with your friends. I'm not going to keep you away from doing the things you want to do or your friend.
That's another cause that needs to be added on here. Yeah. Ego.
Yeah.
My ego has definitely caused me to be in some on and off again. Mm. Don't let me stalk a story.
And see you later.
Or get some information about you trying to float away. Actually, you're not ready. It's not time for you to float. Unless
Boy,
I have
the
float.
Way I put a weight on you so
yes,
quick.
Yes, unless I have already floated away, then you don't get to float away yet. Get back over here. And that is not
yeah,
good.
That's your toxic trait.
I know. I'm so toxic. In that way. I'm so toxic. I hate that.
That is
But
a toxic
that's why
trait.
I'm working on my ego, because that's not good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that about myself.
Yeah. You've mentioned it in the past.
I have.
It's good that you're aware, though.
I'm aware. I'm fully aware. Eyes are open. Yeah. So, we're going to be right back, y'all. We have more Black Girl Bravado coming up right after this.
Have you ever dreamed of effortlessly conversing in another language? Whether it's for that upcoming international trip, connecting with family and friends, diving deep into a new culture, or simply adding a new skill to your repertoire, learning a new language opens up a world of opportunities. But let's face it, traditional methods like textbooks and classroom learning can be a drag. That's where Rosetta Stone comes in. As the most trusted language learning program for over 30 years, Rosetta Stone offers a revolutionary approach that truly immerses you in the language you want to learn without relying on CDs or DVDs. Picture this, you're effortlessly conversing in Spanish on the streets of Barcelona, ordering tapas like a local, or discussing the latest French designers with Parisians. So sexy, right? With Rosetta Stone's intuitive process, you'll learn naturally, starting with words, then phrases, then full sentences. And with over 25 languages offered, including Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, and Polish, the possibilities are endless. Rosetta Stone's speech recognition technology, including the True Accent feature, acts like a personal trainer for your accent, providing instant feedback on your pronunciation. Plus, with both desktop and app options available, along with offline lesson downloads and an audio companion, learning for the babe on the go has never been easier. And here's the best part. For a limited time, Rosetta Stone is offering a lifetime membership for 50% off, y'all. That's right, lifetime access to all 25 language courses for half the price. Don't miss out on this amazing deal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, BGB listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Hey, Bookies, we got something special for you. Are you ready to dive into a celebration of Blackness that's as diverse as the experience it represents? Well, NPR has got you covered with Black Stories, Black Truths. This is a groundbreaking collection that's more than just a podcast. It's revelation.
What does Black representation in media mean to you? Because to me, it's about breaking down stereotypes, challenging biases, and also showcasing the rich tapestry of Black experiences.
For sure. Absolutely. And Black Stories, Black Truths is the epitome of this celebration. Each episode is a living account of what it truly means to be Black today, and it's told from a unique Black perspective.
And I feel like these aren't just stories, like they're narratives of joy, resilience, empowerment, and also the incredible ability to create world-shifting things out of the struggle.
Seriously, you'll hear about everything from pop culture icons like Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama, to discussions on vital topics like reparations, y'all. There's really no limit to the range of Black Stories, Black Truths.
Have you tuned in yet? One of my favorite episodes is the one on how real self-care takes real systemic change. That's a must listen.
Yeah, I really think the hosts bring a tone that's celebratory. It's also informative and reflective, which I really can appreciate. Every episode is a journey. It offers a range of emotions and perspectives that keeps you hooked from start to finish. As soon as I turn it on, I'm like,
And let's not forget, Black perspectives haven't always been at the forefront of America's story, but now they are the story.
Period. So this is not just a podcast, y'all. It's a collection of some of NPR's best episodes showcasing the brilliance and resilience of the Black experience.
And we know NPR is known for its commitment to diverse storytelling, but with them presenting Black Stories, Black Truths, I would say that this is NPR with the noir twist.
So what are you waiting for? Turn on NPR today and immerse yourself in a range of voices as varied, nuanced, and Black as the incredible country we reflect.
And remember, stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, available wherever you get your podcast. Y'all should know by now that we love progression over here. Let's chat about what everyday progress truly means to us. Whether it's hitting those small milestones or treating ourselves to a little something-something after a month of disciplined budgeting, progress is all about balance and staying motivated. And speaking of budgeting and reaching financial goals while still enjoying life's little pleasures, have you heard about Chime? Chime's checking account offers some amazing features that can help you along your financial journey. Let me tell you about one feature that really stands out to me. Chime's Spot Me. We've all been there, right? Dealing with overdraft fees can really throw a wrench in your financial plans. But with Chime, you can overdraft up to $200 with no fees. You heard me right. No fees. It's like having a safety net for those unexpected moments. Y'all, I had a friend who was always getting hit with hefty overdraft fees. It was a mess trying to sort it out. How do you really get ahead with that? But with Chime, you can avoid those headaches and get back on track with ease. Plus, Chime isn't just a bank. It's a community. With Boost, you can increase your Spot Me limit by receiving Boost from your friends. It's like having your financial back covered by your squad. So, if you're ready to take control of your finances and wave goodbye to those pesky monthly fees, open your Chime account today. Just head over to chime.com/bravado. That's chime.com/bravado. Chime feels like progress. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank, N.A. or Stride Bank, N.A. Members FDIC. Spot Me eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Boosts are available to eligible Chime members enrolled in Spot Me and are subject to monthly limits. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details. Okay, y'all, before we get back into the show, few church announcements. If you have not already left your rating for the show and hit that bell so that you don't miss out on any of our new episodes, please do so.
Yeah.
They may be flying under the radar and you need to know what's going on over here. You need to be listening to every episode. And while you're listening, you need to be sharing them with your homegirls or homeboys, whoever you feel needs to hear the message. Do that for us.
Yeah. Also, we have an amazing retreat that's coming up, y'all. Spots are very limited and this is not something that you want to miss. Okay, we're going to be in Belize from May 3rd to May 7th, 2023.
Unlocking
2024, motherfucker. Okay, we're going to be unlocking sisterhood, resting, relaxing, connecting, doing all the things that you do when you're amongst great company. The girls are going to be outside for real, abroad.
In luxury.
Yes, having a great time. If you have any questions, you can feel free to reach out to us. I'm sure we have answers. And if you're just ready to lock in your spot, the information is down in the show notes. It's real simple.
It's that simple.
It's really simple.
What else is simple is joining us in our membership community, our Homegirl Hangout on Patreon, where you can connect with other women that way and also with us through our bonus content where we talk about all types of things, y'all. Mm-hmm. Every month there's about 2 to 3 additional episodes over there on that platform. So
get into it.
It's there for you. That information is down in the show notes. And yeah, should we get back to the show?
I think so.
Okay, back to it.
So it's time for our next segment, Tools for Your Toolkit. We have to get into some solutions. The girls have to be set free from this cycle. The chains have to come out. It's time to break them.
Break them. Tasha Cobbs?
So,
is that the name?
Yeah. Break every chain. So the first solution here is to get clear on what you want and what you need and make a decision. It's time to stand up. It's time to stand up, girls. And something that can help here is making a list. So not a list necessarily of pros and cons, but rather a list of what it is that you desire, what it is that you require, and what you're not willing to tolerate or accept.
Mm.
You feel me? You got to be as objective as possible here. And if the person that you have in front of you is not lining up to what it is that you say you want, it's going to be tough, but it's time to make a decision.
Yeah.
You got to get on.
That'll do it.
Yeah. And another thing is to make a decision and stand on it. It's time to make a decision and stand on it.
10 toes.
All of them. Your feet. You get on your hands and knees if you need to, okay?
Ooh. Once you get on your hands and your knees to pray.
Pray. Yes. Okay? And that might look like blocking, exercising your boundaries, putting some new boundaries in place to protect your peace. Right? Because people will try to come back. All because you say you done don't mean they are.
Yeah.
You know? They'll be knocking at your door.
Or they'll do things that trigger you. Even if it's not their intention to trigger you, you have to recognize what triggers you. I have recognized what triggers me and I have to really be like, no, a boundary has to be in place. Because sometimes I have felt like a boundary makes me appear mean or like,
yeah,
I don't fuck with you at all. So that's one of the reasons why I leave the door open.
Mm-hmm.
But in my healing journey of doing better,
yeah,
I have realized that I can't do that. I have to do a no contact.
Yeah, a no contact.
A no contact is best for me to really like be done. I think that's best. Even if it's not forever.
Yeah.
It needs to be no contact until I'm really off of the situation so that I could properly move on and not feel some kind of way or not feel like I need to operate in my ego or do some stupid shit that's going to set me back.
Yeah. I'm a no contact girly. None. And then when the time is right, when I have really like very little feelings for you, little to none.
Yeah, little to none.
It has to be little to none. Then you can come back into my world. And even then, it's at an arm's distance and length. Like you could follow me on social media.
Yeah.
But please don't call me. My ex at one point, a very, 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 very old ex, not a recent ex, very old. I was like 15 years ago ex, had reached out to me. I'm like, hold on.
Via phone call? Text.
First it was via DM, then it was via phone call. I'm like, hold on, please don't ask me for no money. I'm thinking time's got to be really hard.
Yeah.
If you banging my phone, because at this point we've come to the conclusion that we're not enemies. It's cool. But when my phone was ringing and I don't have the number saved and I'm like, hello? Oh, what's up? I'm like, ooh, Richter scratch. The fuck? Because niggas know not to call me. But it was cool. You know, he was really, he wanted my advice on a situation that he was having in his own personal romantic relationship. He's like, I know you got your podcast, you know, and I know you be doing your thing. And I really
love to reference that.
And he really trusts my judgment, even in the relationship. He was like, I always value your opinion and like your insight. And I just really want to see if you can help me with this. And I'm like,
Yeah.
And now I'm therapizing. Listen, this is my work, though. This is the work that this is the work that I do.
This is my profession.
This is what I do. I can't help it. I'm a vessel. I let them use me.
Listen. No, I'm here for that. I'm here for that.
But that's also after.
When there's no feelings.
There's nothing.
There's no feelings. That's best. That's what I'm learning about myself.
Another boundary is it can't be often. He knows that. You can't hit me all the time.
Yeah.
Call me every now and again for
very
something.
Infrequent.
Very, like, nigga, not even annually. I don't even want to talk annually, to be completely honest.
Damn,
I don't
no
even...
happy birthday?
Or no, okay. No, it's not a happy birthday. That same person, we don't say happy birthday back and forth. We're not doing that. I don't give a fuck if your birthday's happy. I hope you're well and in good health, but I don't want to, no. So don't feel like you're the bad guy.
Chun-Li. That's what I'm realizing now, because before I have felt like the bad guy, usually because I'm the initiator of the breakup too. And it's like I'm pulling the rug from under someone's feet. I have to not do that. I just have to release it because it's not about me being a bad person. It's about me implementing what's best for me at the moment.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And although it may hurt you or not be what you desire, it's a decision that I have to make.
Yeah.
And then it turns into something else once the communication is kept and it starts becoming too much.
What's helped me is just accepting that somebody's going to have to take on that role. And if it's going to come down to me moving forward, it's got to be me. Because if we're both going to be nice about it and you know, it's probably not going to end.
No,
it's probably not going to end. So it's okay. I'll take it. I'll be that. If you think I'm a bad, if you think I'm a mean bitch for right now, that's fine.
Or it's going to be ended with complications. You know?
Yeah. Don't put yourself at risk.
Right.
Don't put yourself at risk, but be firm, ladies. Be firm, or gentlemen, whoever.
And that's why these tools are. That's why these tools are available. They didn't come up with no contact just for shits and giggles. Right. This shit really works.
Be firm.
It really works. Sometimes you have to not talk to people.
A lot of times.
Another tool for your toolkit is to free yourself from societal pressures.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We have to avoid letting the fear of judgment, the stigma, or the pressure cause us to be in a situation just to be in a situation.
Yeah.
Because people will be like, what's going on? You know, they might not ask you what's going on with that actual relationship, but they'll be like, where's your person?
Mm-hmm.
They'll make their story your story, and you feel like, oh my God, is something wrong with me because I don't have anybody? No, nothing's wrong. You just don't have anyone right now.
Yeah. Or if you've been locked in with a person for a long time and you're invested in their family, that's tough too. Like, dang, if I... Separating from him means separating from his family. And I've had that experience, those feelings where I'm like, I really like his dad. I really like it. Like, damn, I felt so much comfort and love and acceptance and embrace with these people. And now all of that is just done. You know, social media also plays a big role in this.
Ugh.
If you've already it done plays a hard the biggest launch, role. If you've done a hard launch with a nigga, you guys might be considered an it couple or goals, and then people see y'all not together no more.
It could be a lot. The girlies are now saying it because a lot of people do the launches and mm-hmm. they let people know who their significant other yeah. is. They make an announcement. We're not together. Respect my privacy at this time. Don't ask me no more questions. And then they move forward.
I like that.
They move forward. And then some people aren't showing their relationships. Some people aren't doing that either. They're just moving in silence, I guess, until they feel like maybe this is the one, you yeah. know?
And even then, still, even if it's the one, it could still go bad. So
it can.
Don't worry about what people
think. It can,
think.
But for the people who've been in a bunch of mini relationships like me, like, you know?
You don't want people in your business.
You it ain't been no business to be in. It's my business, you yeah. know? It hasn't been shareable business.
Yeah.
What I've been doing is just not your business.
And that's just that. You know? That. Yeah. Next, we're going to commit to being open to new experiences and meeting new people, right? We're shifting our perspective around what it means to meet some folks.
Mm.
You know, research identifies that a lot of people have anxiety around dating. Dating anxiety. Yeah.
I have dating anxiety.
And forming, like, that's a big obstacle is forming new connections and being vulnerable with a person, a new person. So for someone who has dating anxiety, being in an on again, off again relationship is perfect.
Yeah, it feels better.
It's like, I don't even got to deal with the idea of meeting a new motherfucker. You know?
Yeah.
This is real. But instead of having that mindset of like, I'd rather stay here, or I'm afraid to go out there and meet somebody, or the dating pool is full of piss, because I've heard that one time and
that
time
one
again,
has, yes.
We have to shift our mindset to like, there's plenty of fish in the sea. If you are an attractive person, you're a successful person, you are good looking, you have all of, you know, the things that you feel like you can bring to a relationship and have a good partnership with somebody, and you are in the dating pool, then trust and believe somebody else is also
in
has
the pool.
Those same
in the pool too.
Yeah, attributes, and they're in the pool too.
Girl, I know, but you know what? That the messaging is real. Not only are we hearing that the dating pool has piss in it, but every time somehow I'm on TikTok and that dating talk shit comes up on my FYP, I be trying to hurry up and scroll past it because the messaging is toxic what? Or discouraging. I won't say it's toxic. It's discouraging. Dating in LA sucks. Dating here sucks. They're not. If you want to increase your chance, it's just like mm-hmm. negative.
Yeah.
It's negative. Not to mention when you meet somebody and they're full of shit, it's like affirming.
That
the negativity
is hard.
It affirms it.
Yeah.
And that creates dating anxiety.
It does.
And you got to kiss hella frogs.
I know. I'm not in the pool, but I'm just saying.
You know?
I'm just
so
saying.
So that's where it comes from. A reframe is needed, though. You really mm-hmm. do have to get ahead of it and to prosper.
This month, we're going to have so many tips and tricks and great conversations around what it looks like to reframe your mindset around dating. But this is just one for here right now.
Yeah.
Try to have a abundant mindset when it comes to calling in a relationship, not a scarcity mindset. Ain't no niggas out there. Everybody who's worth something is already coupled.
Yeah.
They already married. They already got. No, girl, if you out there, somebody else is out there. And I believe it.
Yeah. Relationships are ending every day.
They are. Venus was in retrograde.
Shit, let me get one of them. Let me get one of them.
Yeah.
Okay, another tip is to get brutally honest with yourself. Let's just call a spade. Ask yourself, is this relationship fulfilling a hidden need for you? What is the void that you're trying to fill?
Yeah.
Come on.
There's a lack there. There's a lack.
There's a lack of self-worth. Mm-hmm. Not wanting to be lonely. This person affirms me. Yeah, we already know that.
Codependency, baby. Big codependent. Yeah.
Bit codependent. And here's a few questions that you can ask yourself. Let's pull out them journals.
Get your notes out.
The first one, is there a void in my life that only this relationship feels? What does it look like? And is there an alternative way to feel better? Most of the voids that we feel that we think these relationships are filling, we have tools. There are ways that we can fill them ourselves, and not in the toxic, I don't need no man type of way, but in a way that you don't need somebody who's not everything that you need to be there just to fill that void.
Right.
You know?
Just to occupy space.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Some more questions that you can ask yourself. Is the happiness I receive from this on and off relationship temporary or lasting? And when I envision the happiest version of my life, does this relationship feature in it? Really? Really? This is one of the questions I have to ask myself.
Journal on this one today.
I want so much for myself. Mm-hmm. And I can't be partnered with somebody who is going to hinder me. Mm. I need somebody who's helping catapult
propel me forward.
Get behind me.
Yeah.
We have to already come in ready for that. Mm-hmm. My martyrdom needs to be put to rest.
Yeah, barrier.
And the sacrificial part of myself needs to be put to rest. Girl, let's get back to the basics. These are the basics. These are the basics right here.
Next, y'all, we're reconciling with the lack of ROI. We're just going to reconcile with the fact that there probably is no return on the investment. There's no return on the investment. Not the return that you thought you were going to get, at least.
I hate this.
Yeah, I know. So there's a concept. It's called the sunk cost fallacy. And the sunk cost fallacy occurs when someone makes a decision based around a previous investment, right? Your time, your resources. This is also when you are reluctant to abandon a strategy or a course of action because you invested so heavily into
it. You committed to it.
Yeah. Even when it's clear that abandonment, leaving the situation would be more beneficial.
Yeah.
I'm going to write it down. This is like going down with the Titanic.
Yeah.
That's what this is. I've already invested. We've already been in this for so long. I got to get something back. What Denzel said, I'm leaving here with something. I'm leaving here with something.
Yeah.
I'm getting what I came for, you know? So what we can do is, again, reframe the mindset. Although you might didn't get what you thought you should have got out of it, whether that be a ring, whether you get like lifelong commitment, maybe you had a child with this person, them staying. Who knows what it is? You know, feeling the security, the safety, nigga. You really didn't give me what
the
I thought
victory.
I was going to get.
We be wanting the victory.
Yeah. Whatever you consider a win. How can you think about what it is that you gained? Maybe you gained a clear sense of self. Maybe you gained a clear sense of what it is that you want in your next relationship. Maybe you have more patience and more tolerance when the right person comes. Like, okay, I know how to problem solve now. I feel like I could work on my solutions better, bringing better solutions to the table. Basically, how can you turn the L into a lesson?
That's a good way to look at it.
What did I get
out of it? It's a good way to look at it, but I just hate the thought.
I know.
I hate the thought of somebody finding...
Yeah.
You know, yeah, yeah. Getting somebody when I was in the mud with you, or, you know, I went through the rough patches with you. And then when I finally am fed up, and then when you get with somebody else, they're able to get all of the good things, the good part.
Yeah.
I hate that.
I know. You know
what? I hate that so fucking much. It's like, wow.
Was giving me peace. I'm the one who built this man.
I was the one. Really?
What's giving me peace, though?
Is watering that seed.
Is that, boy, you couldn't have gave me what I needed. You probably giving her what she needed. You giving her, it's right for her right now. And the people who I feel like I wasn't getting what I needed to get out of, they still ain't shit. So that's I'm like, okay.
It's still not.
I would have stayed in it longer because that's the thing. I'm so committed. I'm so loyal
me too.
I'm like, boy, I'm in it. If I'm in it with you, I'm really in it. And I look back now, like, look at all of these years that's passed and you still ain't where I thought you would have been.
True.
Oh, hell no. But when I made a good decision.
Yeah, I know.
When you're in it, you can't really realize, like.
When you're in it, you can't really realize it. And sometimes a little bit after.
I know.
But a when little bit. But when once time, said, yeah. Once time has really gone on, that's when you really do see, like, see.
Yeah.
Your decision.
Yeah. Hindsight is 2020.
Your decision is affirmed. Like, I knew it.
But if you are somebody who's in an on again, off again relationship and you're thinking, I've invested in this man, child, you've probably given too much.
I was going to say
that. The stock ain't what it ain't worth what you think it is.
And a way to get ahead of this for the future.
Leave.
It's to cut it off quick.
Yeah.
Cut it off quicker. That way you don't feel the pain of this sunk cost fallacy because it's like, I recognized early that I didn't need to make that type of investment
and I
exited.
Yeah. I was up out of there. I was up out of there before it took too much out of me. I gave exactly what I was comfortable giving. And when I didn't want to give anymore, I took a step back. Mm-hmm. That's power.
That is.
Now that is power. That's really walking in your power.
That's really how you come out on top.
Right.
That's how you come out on top.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real win.
A win is a win.
Okay, so our final tip open up and talk to people. Mm-hmm. Talk to your folks, okay? Speak with people that you trust and let them know about your challenges with trying to leave. It's embarrassing. It can be embarrassing to be like, girl,
I'm in it. You know, I'm back with them. I want to leave.
And there are people who have successfully left who can help you out. But you got to give them the opportunity, the space and the opportunity. Mm-hmm. If you're stonewalled and closed off to it, of course, people are going to be like, you know, what can I say? What can I do? It's not welcomed. But leaning on your people who have done this, they'll give you the tools. They'll tell you, block them.
Yeah.
You got to stop talking to them. You got to change your number.
And then you got to refer back to fucking step one. Make a decision and stand on it. Because don't keep going back and forth to your people telling me you want to leave.
I know.
And then you don't leave. Girl, let me come to me when you're really ready.
You do. And usually when I start telling people I am, because it's like now.
Yeah, once you start airing it out.
I have some pride. Yeah. But another reason to tell people is so that they can be there for you. Mm-hmm. So when that loneliness starts to creep in and you feel like you don't have your person or, you know, that company, they can fill in the gaps. Like, girl, you know, I'm going through a transition.
Hell yeah.
I need you right now.
Them being available will be the determining factor if you go back or not.
I know.
Imagine if you had somebody call like, girl, you know, I'm lonely right now. I got
to
talk.
Yeah. Can we go to happy hour? Can we do something? Yeah. It's like, that is a very important part.
Versus not having somebody, then guess what? You're going to be under him. Oh, for sure. On his phone, texting him what you doing. WYD.
ASAP.
Exactly.
ASAP.
What's up?
And sometimes we have to seek professional help. Mm-hmm. Sometimes this is really layered. Like I said, it's deeper than just like cutting somebody off or blocking their number. Sometimes it's like I really have some internal shit that I have to work through so that I can really walk away and be done and not go back and forth. So you might need to talk to a therapist. You might need to get a coach. Mm-hmm. Maybe you need a coach.
Yeah.
Black girls heal. Sheena, she's a coach.
Happy word.
Sheena, Black girls heal. Because there's a lot.
Yeah, it can get deep in layers. Sometimes it's not as easy as it seems.
Yeah.
But you do have the capability and the ability to move on.
You do.
You do, girl.
We can do hard things.
Heard it all before.
All of your lies.
Start playing that sunshine.
All of your sweet talk. Listen,
baby this, baby that. But your lies ain't working now.
Look who's hurting now.
See, I had to shut you down. Okay, you got to get shut down. Shut them down, girl. Shut them down. So, y'all, hopefully those tips and tricks help you out. We're going to take a quick break and come back with more Black Girl Bravado. Sit tight. Welcome back to our final segment. It's time to pick up your pen.
We're dropping a gem.
So this is the part of the show where we get to share with you guys the life hacks, the things that are checking us, wrecking us, inspiring us, helping us move from bad bitch to baddest bitch. Okay. And this week, the gem is foresight mental health. So I shared on the pod last week that I was recently diagnosed with ADD, and I started the process by speaking to my PCP. They had me do like a very like general assessment, and then they were like, yeah, you probably should speak to a psychiatrist. So as many of y'all know, healthcare is difficult. It's very hard to manage the healthcare system. Finding the specialist that you need, are they contracted with your insurance? It's just like a slew of shit trying to navigate it. Mm-hmm. So I stumbled upon Foresight, which is basically a mental health platform where you can speak to psychiatrists, which is even more challenging. You can speak to a therapist. It's kind of easy, like with a lot of these more newer platforms that are showing up where a lot of therapists are available. But a psychiatrist, the difference is they can prescribe medication. So they accept insurance, which is awesome. It was really simple to get an appointment to speak with a psychiatrist. I spoke with a nurse practitioner of psychiatry. And through our conversation, she was able to determine, yes, you probably should take the test, the more complex test that you would need for diagnosing. Mm-hmm. And they set me up with that. It's an additional fee, separate, because it's not covered under your insurance. But I can say that the process was not only smooth, but very affirming. Like having someone that I could talk to. We did the like intro call and they asked me about my childhood. And she was like, yeah, you know, she was just very kind. She was very kind. So after I got my diagnosis, I was very just grateful to her. I was mm-hmm. like, thank you so much, Sarah. Her name is Sarah. I'm not gonna give her last name.
Yeah.
But I was like, thank you. You know, I really appreciate this, but I found so much value in this platform, this site that just made it so easy to connect with a mental health professional, a psychiatrist specifically, and to get me connected to the testing that I needed to understand what's going on in my brain.
Yeah.
So if you too think that you might need to speak with a psychiatrist, not for ADD testing, but for a multitude of issues. Maybe you're struggling with depression. Maybe you're struggling with severe anxiety or a mental health condition that you feel like, I think maybe it's time for a little medication management.
Yeah.
And to implement that and make that a part of your treatment team. I mean, your treatment, then use this as a resource. It's Foresight Mental Health. I'm going to make sure that I have it. I'll put the website in the show notes. So that you have access to it.
We love a resource, a mental health resource.
Yes. So we've come to the end of the road.
We have come to the end of the road. Come back because we have tons of episodes that are going to be centered around refreshing your relationships.
And yeah. Resetting your mind.
Resetting, yeah.
I really enjoyed this conversation.
Me too, y'all. And we will see you all next week.
Yeah, love you.
Bye.
Bye.